At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast on Instagram.
That's right, that's right.
This dude got a website.
JustinFullerComedy.com, people. Check it out.
And as you can see,
yeah,
we have a fellow comedian.
Another one.
Fellow comedy host, fellow
actor,
writer,
actor,
and actor.
I say fellow actor.
Well, I can't say it because I haven't. Well, I did some skits.
Yeah. I haven't done nothing with him, but we'll get into his acting.
Yeah, man, we got an actor, fellow comedian. You know, this guy here, I've seen his growth. And he gets in and he gets busy. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Mr. Marquand Banks, everybody.
That's right. Woo! Yeah.
Welcome. Thanks for having me, bro. Thanks for having me. To yes, both of you. I appreciate you for sure.
Hey, where can they find you?
Yeah.
Man, y'all can find me in front of Save-A-Lot on the CDs and movies. That's where y'all can find me for real. This shit is a facade. I ain't lying to you. I was out there right now today. And if Social Security watched this shit, I was a player. But I was out there today. So the CDs and movies, 2 for $5. You might get 3 for $5 if I know you.
Ooh, deals.
Deals.
Man, I love these guys, man. I love these guys' energy, bro. I love these guys' hospitality, man. I love the setup, the professionalism. They got my own little beverage and everything, man. But I told these guys I wear a 3X. Why am I got a medium on right now,
y'all? It's a 3X medium.
Why is my blood pressure up? I'm going to take my medicine and everything. And this t-shirt to raise my blood pressure. So everything I did to Planet Fitness tonight, this morning, is nullified.
Swole.
Because they done raised my blood pressure back up.
That's called with
the,
swole.
With the medium 3X t-shirt.
That's a slim fit, baby.
Actually,
why I'm built like somebody, baby mama? Why I look 7 trimesters right now, y'all?
Actually,
the beer belly is out.
Man,
I should have said 6X.
That's a mighty fine shirt you have on, my friend.
Yeah,
that looks nice.
Looks good on you.
Absolutely. Yeah, man.
Couple days working.
I love. No, it's a beautiful shirt, but I gotta focus on my breathing 10% more. I just lower my lung capacity for the night.
You know, we strive to help. You know,
hey,
give you some goals in life.
We got Mr. Marquand Banks in the house.
Yeah. Hey, where can I find you on social media?
Man, I'm on Instagram. It's Real. I heard 3, all one word. Marquand Real Banks Facebook. It's Real. I heard 3. Same thing on TikTok, man. Catch me on TikTok trying to get my followers some TikTok. So, man, hit my TikTok up, man.
Yep.
You know, I'm showing.
Let's go.
So, to the Midnight Paco Podcast, brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services, help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
That's right. Marquand Banks is in the house, everybody. You know what? Hey, Marquand, how long you been doing comedy, man?
Man, it's been about, man, I lost count, but I want to say about 5 or 6 years on the journey, bro. I started about, I want to say 2017, 2018, around there.
Okay. Yeah. So you did comedy. Like, what made you get into comedy?
Yeah. Really, man, I just been funny all my life, bro. Just naturally just making jokes, like just having real good comedic timing and just being witty since like a child, now that I think about it, you know. I know y'all probably know Desmond Turner.
Shout out to Desmond Turner. Desmond, yeah. Friend of the show.
Desmond Turner. I was really making a lot of funny videos on Instagram. And he just like always just comment on my videos like, cuz you just try doing comedy. And he was already doing it.
Yeah.
So he introduced me, told me like, hey man, go to hit up to the garage talk, hit up John Bruton.
Shout out to John Bruton.
Shout out to John Bruton.
And go up to his open mics and let's do comedy. And then I went on stage and I got my first laugh. And once I got my first laugh, like I was like way addicted to that feeling.
Right. Yeah.
That feeling like just like, oh man, I like this. I like this feeling. This is nice right here.
Great
so
feeling.
So I got it just been I've been doing it ever since.
Nice. Yeah. You catch the buzz. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like before you start was doing comedy, like who are some of your comedic influences? Like who did you watch to say that, you know, I want to do this or I can do this?
Man, what's crazy is it's a lot of people I watch, man. Cat Williams.
Shout out to Cat.
Mike Epps.
Yeah.
You feel me? Shout out to my OG, Sean Showtime. He opened up for Mike Epps doing the hosting, whatever.
Hey, shout out to Sean.
Man, shout that out, man. That's my OG, man.
Yeah. So, I went to school with him.
Mike Epps, Cat Williams, Lavelle Crawford, obviously Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
Bernie Mac.
Mac. R.I.P.
Robin Harris.
R.I.P.
Like them type of people. I almost feel like I take a little bit from them.
Yeah.
Like, you feel me?
Yeah.
A little bit from each of them, and that kind of like inspired my comedy. Like I'm almost like a cocktail of all of them. Shout out Corey Holcomb.
Absolutely.
Feel me? All them people like inspired me.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, man. It's been a lot of people.
So it was at that moment that Desmond said some shit that got you like, oh, okay, there's a spot I can actually go do it.
Yeah, and I think I might have saw him do a clip, and then he was on stage. I'm like, man, I probably can do that. He said, I can do that. You feel me?
Yeah.
I'm like, then, and I went and did it, and like, I remember I asked John Bruton like how I did. He was like, man, he said you did better than I thought you would do or whatever. He said something like that. Like I took that and ran with it.
Okay.
Like he said, nigga, that damn near mean potential to me. He said,
So
I took that and like ran with it, you know.
Encouragement's good.
Especially, you know, coming from a guy like John Bruton, is it like, you know, I think he's a tough customer to satisfy, you know.
Right.
And he said you did better than he thought you did. So
right,
that's better.
So I took that and ran with it. Like I remember, shout out to a guy. He really don't do comedy too much no more. But he had a diaper on. It was my first show. He had a diaper on. He came out there with a diaper, and he like we froze. And I'm like, man, I made a joke about that. Like, man, if I come out here with a diaper, I'm gonna shit on myself or something. Like, if I'm gonna go, go for it. I just remember like, that first, like you never get that first time, like your first time gets a pussy. Like you never gonna forget the first time, bro.
Mine's on film.
First joke.
Mine's on the internet.
Getting pussy?
No. Oh. I mean, it might be. No.
Oh, I was about to say.
No, my first time.
We ain't gonna nothing like that. You know, they watching, the people watching.
Especially my age. It was definitely underage. You don't want that. But no, on stage.
Right,
it's out there. It's like, you know, you look at it. It's like, I got jealous.
My first time might be on film too. I think I gave him my phone or
did
whatever.
You post it?
I think I might have posted. Okay. I think, you know, it'd come up in like my Facebook memories.
Oh, okay.
You know, Facebook memories. it might pop up. All
right, good. At least you have like it documented somewhere.
Yeah,
you
know it's documented on Facebook.
Because look, it's one of those deals when you're gonna be famous. And, you know, like, hey, that was my first time on stage out there.
Absolutely.
People are going to probably pull it up and talk shit, but either way, it don't matter.
That's important. Right. Like, so with your comedy influences and things like that, like, what would you say your comedy style was, like, based on, like, you know, some of the comics that's out right now? Like, who would you feel like you would do great on tour with?
That's a very good question. I feel like I'm a big energy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Carlos Millers or the DC Young Flies or the Cat Williams or the Mike Epps. Like, I feel like I would do good on tour with them. Like, if I had the opportunity, I can open up because I'm big on energy and just like physical comedy. Like, I feel like Marlon Wayans, he did an interview with Shay Shay. I feel like he's like the king of physical comedy. Like, he get on stage and do whatever. And then I feel like Cat Williams might have been inspired to him. I love Cat Williams' physical comedy. So, like, sometimes I might do some physical shit just because I'm like I said, all the people I named earlier, I'm some way inspired by them. So, like, I feel like I'm damn near almost a cocktail to them because I've been seeing them, like, growing up. And, like, right. I never thought I would do comedy. But subconsciously, like, damn, it's like, I'm inspired by these people I used to watch. I was always be fascinated by comedy. But like, I'll watch the shit over and over again, the same shit. And I know I'm like, I was studying one day to do the shit.
But why did you think you would never do it?
I don't know. I just like I said, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I never knew. Okay. I'm from the projects, bro. Okay. Like, I never knew, you feel me? Right. That was in the works. Like, I didn't know, like,
that was a reality for
you. That was a reality
for me. Thank you. Okay. Right.
You feel me?
Yeah.
I didn't know, like, you feel me? To keep it real, bro, I was like, wait, a fuck up. You're going to jail for doing dumb shit. And now I turned from going to jail for doing some dumb shit. 10 years later, now they know me for doing comedy. With my cousin, my nephew, my brother, my son, whoever, he's a comedian. Now, not known for, you feel me, that goofy shit I used to do.
Yeah, that's dope.
Like,
you
for sure.
You know, you grow in age.
Right. So, like, really, I surprised myself. Like, now I go outside, I might be outside, like, hey, bro, I remember you performing here. Nice. Or you was in this movie. Or man, why you ain't tell me that movie you sold me? You was in the movie. But you sold me. Like, no real shit. Nice. Like, you sold me a movie. Why you ain't tell me you was in it? I just wanted you to find out, bro.
Right. That's dope.
Like, you feel me?
Speaking of which, so movie. How many movies you been in?
I've been in three and one TV. Okay. So I've been in a movie called The Cat. That was with Big Hef.
All right, shout out to Big Hef.
He was one of the producers on the movie. Smooth Gotti, Johnny Lump, them my peoples, you feel me? So like anything they got, anything with Smooth Gotti or Johnny Lump in it, I'ma get a part in it. Like,
see, that's
the movie The Cap, I came to audition for that movie. They didn't even know I was coming. I came out, got my hair cut, put on my nice little fit, came out and auditioned for the movie.
Okay.
You feel me?
Yeah.
The movie, The Table to Turn, that we just did, that just got to, had the premiere in Vegas.
Yeah.
I came out and auditioned to that movie. I came to audition the movie as an old man. I came to audition the movie as an old man. They wrote the old man into the script because my audition was that funny.
Mm.
I did my own hair and makeup. I came in here to say, I'm going to be an old man, an old sugar daddy type dude, real funny with it.
Okay.
And I got some makeup, put on a button up, sprayed my hair, made my hair look gray, got some old man glasses and a motherfucking Kango hat.
Yeah.
And created a character. And that character got put in the movie.
Nice. Dope. That's
and that
dope.
Movie got premiered in Vegas.
Right.
So, you know, telling who saw that movie or who might see that movie
exactly. And
give you another opportunity.
Yes.
And your career can be go to another level.
Yep. You feel me? 100%. Yeah, you got to take advantage of all opportunities. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that is real dope. So, basically...
Do I like Winnie the Pooh with this song? I feel like it's giving Winnie the Pooh a little bit.
As long as your brown t-shirt ain't showing,
you're good. Shorts again on the episode.
Yeah, I don't see your brown t-shirt. You're all right. Yeah,
I ain't never wearing shorts again.
It looked like you, work out. Look like you... Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
You look swole. Don't worry about it. You've been working out.
No, but look, let me ask you this. Like, this is the part of comedy that, you know, you gotta be like, you have to be there to witness. And I know that you, and I do it too, but many people call it different things, regardless of what city you're from.
Right.
They call it jonesing, snapping, the dozens.
Talking shit.
I know.
Simple talking shit.
I know that you are like, that's like, to me, in addition to your on-stage routine, I know that you have that ammo in your clip that you can, like, rank on folks. I know that. How did that come about? Like, when? How did that start?
Being, that couple being getting ranked on and having to have some comebacks. You feel me?
Yeah.
Because, like, females just start liking the big fat dude, dark skin, and all that teddy bear shit. We just started being teddy bears. Y'all want to fuck with fat niggas in the early 90s, early 2000s. Y'all wanted the skinny niggas that could snap and roll and do the stanky leg and shit. Y'all want to fuck with the big boys. We just came popular. Now it's winter time. You want to lay up with me now. You feel me? Because you want to fuck the skinny nigga in the winter with all the stamina and shit. Now you want to cuddle. Around October, September, you want to cuddle and shit.
So you said that came from being ranked on.
Yeah, so like I said, you came with me and ranked on. Like, so you got to come with some comebacks. So now,
you ever do roast battles?
I'm starting to look into it's a Cleveland roast battle, man. Shout out Tyrone. We say I'm going to the next
Tyrone
one.
Game.
He gonna put me into that, yeah, man. Because I'm trying to look forward to getting to that. Because like I said, you're not the only person that say that. People like, bro, man, I love how you can do the roasting and do the ranking and stuff. But, like, yeah, they came getting ranked on and having this have some come back. And now it's like, I got good at it. Like,
I got good at it. My introduction to that, and I know you've been in roast battles.
Right.
But my
and I've actually been in some roast battles. Let me clarify that. It's this thing called Cleveland Roast Battle League or something like that. I never did that. But we have done our own roast battles where I have been in at different venues and things like that. So I have been to actual roast battles for sure.
So what I realized was, me and Marquand and I, we met at the front stage. That was the shout out to Roselle Lamar.
Shout out to Roselle.
He put us on our first show.
Yep.
We had our dude Jive there.
Jive, yeah, shout out to Jive.
After the comedy show, people stood in line and roasted Jive for some reason. Marquand was one of them. I don't know. Look, he looking like he don't know what I'm talking about. Jive was our light skinned.
I'm sure I did. I'm positive I did. Cause I come in on the boys like I might start the roast battle backstage. Like Marquand might start a roast battle. You feel me? I usually like you feel me. We comedians, bro.
We all standing there. Jive was standing there. It was like a line for Jive. Marquand came up like you. Lionel Richie looking. I'm like, this guy just standing there and he just.
He was there, yeah, he wasn't even on doing yeah.
I'm like, damn, Marquand, he just standing there. He ain't saying nothing to nobody. No matter.
I'm coming in hot.
He came in hot.
I'm coming in hot.
Damn, Marquand.
Oh, you a comedian? Catch these jokes.
Was he performing that night?
He may have went up. I don't know.
Went up.
I think he did.
Jive is a tall, light-skinned dude with a curl-up mustache.
I got on his ass.
It was a line.
That's too easy, bro. You look like the Nutcracker. Like, how can I not get on your ass real quick, bro? I don't know if you're the Nutcracker, the Prince, Michael Jackson, or you're impersonating Lionel Richie. What are you? Like, come on, bro. If I see Easy Bait and I'm off a little bit of Patron, I'm on your ass, goddamn. I'm sorry. And this is a comedy environment.
And that's
if you don't want to get your ass towed up.
And
I'm
that's
sorry.
What the fuck happened. And I'm like, damn, Marquand. Like, dude,
I probably didn't ask his name. I just probably just went straight in. Oh, this.
No, it was a
this
line.
This peanut looking motherfucker.
Didn't he have his jacket?
I don't know.
Did he have on the long jacket?
I don't know, but he was standing there, and it was like a line of comics. Like roasting.
Yeah, now there been some motherfuckers already getting on his ass. Now I really feel free. Now I'm really on your
I was like, damn. I'm like, sorry, Jive. You know,
shout out to Jive.
Shout out to Jive. Jive is cool as fuck. Yeah. Hey, you better get back into it, baby.
Yeah. Let me say something about that though, bro. When we comedians, bro, it's all in good fun, bro. Like, and don't ever let a motherfucker say it to you make you feel like you shouldn't do comedy no more or let you, like, say, oh, I don't want to do it no more. I don't want to be the motherfucking dream killer, bro. So, anything I said was all in good fun.
I've actually seen the bills that you was on, like, roast comedies, you know, because with Big Niche. And she's good. She don't do comedy, but she do the roast.
Right. Big Niche. Shout out to Big Niche. That's what's crazy. Like, everybody say that, bro. Like, out of all my shit, bro. Like, and I feel like I use that on stage, too, with the crowd work. Like, it might slow up or I might have a little 2-second pause when I don't know what to say. boom, I get on this motherfucker, do some crowd work, say something about them for 1 minute, and then get right back into my shit. Like, it's so you can use that, being able to bid on people and make fun of people, you can use that on stage too, because, you feel me? Yeah. It's all, you feel me? In your artillery.
Yeah.
It's in your game.
Definitely a muscle, and it's definitely a skill that you should have in your in your clip. For sure. But, you know, some people, you know, I can do it.
For sure.
I usually just waiting for it to happen. I go up there with a plan, and if somebody says something, I'll react, but I don't go up there to talk to anybody.
Like, I almost feel like you got to be a Swiss Army knife up here. I got to be able to do this, 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 and this. Because I feel like sometimes with your performances, you might have to do a little crowd work. You might have to do a little urban stuff. You might have to do a little clean stuff. You might have to do a little freestyle. Right. You might have to do a little written jokes. And it just flows. It's almost like a boxer out there throwing punches, like it's a rhythm.
You know what
So you got to be able to do all that at once.
What I
to really do good.
Is what you did great at Grown Ups was just fucking riff.
Right.
Just go up there and just talk shit.
Right.
That is something I need to do, but the problem is a lot of times we're at, well, not all the time, not lately. Say, usually we're at a place where you can't cuss, and usually if I go off cuff, that's all I do. So I have to watch what I say.
And that's what I want to dive into. Like, you know, I know, and I give people props every time they comment and they say congratulations. And then I'm like, what are you talking about? You are part of the steel that sharpened me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, I came from the dozens and stuff like that. I don't do it, but if you heckle me on stage, if I can see you, you're going to regret that you ever said anything.
Yeah.
I don't just come out ranking, but
the lights are only here. So.
Yeah, if I can see you, I'm going to get you because I'm from the basement. I'm from the basement. Everybody in Cleveland know I'm from the basement. And you know, I'm from, you know, the Sean Evans with the money team. All right, they cut Mayweather's hair. I'm from the basement. I had to sit there.
You know you had to do old school. Yeah, he cut Mayweather's hair back in '88. Like,
hey, I'm just saying. Look,
that was over 30 years ago.
It don't matter. I'm from
the basement. Yeah, I remember. I don't know Abe Mayweather, but I know his barber in '88. I don't know Mayweather specifically, but I know of his barber that cut his hair one time on Saturday night in St. Clair. I was there. We took a Polaroid picture. You know, you had to shake the picture three times.
You had to blow it and everything. But look, I'm from the basement. If you was from the basement, you know, like, you got ranked on. They was sniping.
It don't matter. I grew up on 36th Street up in Erie, PA. Guess what? They talk shit.
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
I'm from that. I don't do it. I can do it.
And also,
I call it
my Charleston White shit for a hot second. I know some deeper shit. I feel like in the black community, we suffer so much pain.
Right.
Really think about it. The expectancy of a black man or a black woman usually is lower than the life expectancy of a white male or a white woman. They outlive us. They don't have as much trauma as them. They don't go to me as funerals we go to.
Right.
They don't lose people from diabetes and high blood pressure and heart disease and getting robbed on 79th Street as much as you do. Yeah. So they might lose their grandpa. Grandpa who might live 93 years old because of World War II.
Right.
But they don't know about losing their cousin because he walked up the wrong street on his way back from school.
Right.
They don't really have that pain.
Right.
So I feel like in the black community, we got so much trauma. We make so many jokes because we try to laugh instead of cry.
Exactly.
So we might try to make a joke out of everything. We going through so much shit. I got to make a joke out about this shit. Or that shit might destroy me if I don't make a joke about it.
To survive.
Like real shit.
Yeah.
That was my Charleston White segment.
No, y'all ain't
going deep enough, man. Ask me the shit, man.
That destroys you, but you still talk about it. You know what I mean?
It's not like that doesn't destroy you.
You know what I mean? It still destroys you. It's just a way to vent.
At the same time, like for me, when I was doing my show, I did it. I didn't charge a cover. And it was because I felt like Cleveland needed to laugh. I felt like it was important to come see Marquand Banks. I thought it was important to see a Rich Green. These are people that you could see at comedy clubs and pay for, but I wanted to bring it to the neighborhood for free.
Right.
In an intimate environment where you dominated. In an intimate environment.
Like your flower suit, man, because a lot of people don't do this as promoters. You made sure as I can say, the comedian was appreciated at the end of the night.
Absolutely.
You made sure you feel me?
Yeah.
Huh, a little gas money, whoopty whoop, you feel me?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that because you gotta understand, like, I'm paying you for your talent, I'm paying you for your time, I believe in you. Mm-hmm. So you should expect this. If you really want to do this, you suspect to get paid for your
time. I wish it was more. I honestly wish I could give you more.
Right. But no, even the fact you gave us anything shows a lot about you, about your character, and about how you respect the craft and respect the time we put in doing this shit.
Thank you,
bro. You feel me? Because a lot of people like to take advantage of you. Mm-hmm. Like, they see your talents or they see whatever. Like, how can I take advantage of that to benefit me and don't give you nothing? Like, I appreciate every opportunity I have, but I feel like maybe in some of the movies, maybe I should have got paid for it, or for the opportunity, or, you feel me? Like, you feel me? Like, certain things, like, when people do say, I appreciate your craft, I appreciate your talent, I appreciate your time, you remember that.
Right.
You remember every trip.
Yeah,
they didn't have to do it.
Right.
You feel me?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I'm grateful for that, because a lot of people can't say, I go stage and tell jokes and I get paid for it. Whether it was $25, $50,
facts.
$100.
Right.
$200, $400.
Yeah.
I remember I was doing this Sam Silks. I sold 40 tickets, bro. Right. I made damn near $450, 45 tickets. That's all me.
Nah, yeah.
How much time did you
open up for Kenny Howe?
How much time did you do?
Yeah.
Well, I might did 15 minutes.
That's what I'm 15 saying.
Minutes for $400?
And I made off my hustle, though.
Selling tickets.
Over $450.
So it was more time than 15 minutes.
Yeah, but even with that being said, it's like, you know, at this part of the game, not saying that, you know, this ain't nowhere, but it's like, We paying our dues.
Paying
we
our
crawling
dues.
Before we walk. And, like, to be honest with you, like, shout out to you.
Yeah.
When I said, Marquand, come rock with me, you didn't ask me how much you paying. You know, that wasn't a question. It was like you said, sign me up, I'm in.
Right.
And I appreciate that.
And it wasn't expecting to get paid.
Right.
I was expecting to go out there. Somebody said they rock with me. They want me to come bless the stage. I was come out there and do some experience and tell some jokes and have some fun tonight.
That says
I wasn't expecting no money or nothing. So the point. So when I got some money, it was like, oh shit, this is an extra plus. Oh,
right.
You feel me?
I mean, as comedians, that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? So like you said, when you get something, it's appreciated. But
absolutely.
But that says something about you and your character to want to show up for him. You
know show
and your that. And your work ethic.
Yeah.
For sure.
And your work ethic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's like I'm never going to forget that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, people in the Cleveland, Ohio area that came to rock with me, thank you very much. And you know, there's more to come
in the
future. But, you know, look, it's all about Marquand Banks, and be looking out for him. Go watch his movies. He put his all in there. He's only, what, 33?
Yeah, 33.
And I seen, like,
so
clips
what,
and snippets.
So 5 years, he said, 33?
I seen the clips and snippets. He had the gray in his beard. I'm like, look at Marquand. Like, what is he
man,
doing,
just,
man?
I came up, like I said, bro, I came up with a character.
All right.
I thought about some shit. Got some great face paint. Actually, with Stanley Arrow, character, I'm going to give y'all the origin of Stanley
Thank
Arrow.
You, because I was going
to
ask you.
Ray Mill had a skit. I probably had to send it to y'all. It was called, let's shout out Derek Lamont. He was on
shout out Derek Lamont.
What we call this skit? Damn, I can't think of the skit right now. The Simps or something. Simps Anonymous.
Okay.
So the premise is like it's an AA meeting, right? But instead of AA, Alcohol Anonymous, you a simp. So you go on and tell your story like, yeah, I'm a simp, and I do this, and this girl got me for this, and I spend this much, whoop-de-woo, right? So I'm like, oh, that's funny. So what if I was an old man? You feel me? So they showed up with some gray spray paint, and I went up there. I said, okay, I'm gonna throw this on. I'm gonna put gray spray paint. I'm gonna get some glasses. I'm gonna get a button up, wooty woo, and I'm gonna be an old man. Yeah. So I went up there, sprayed my hair, came back down. Everybody reaction was like, what the fuck? Oh shit! Like Urkel stepped in the motherfucker. You feel me? Time machine, like what the fuck? So I'm like, okay, all my comedian peers had that reaction
right
off of me
just
spraying that old man shit. So like, okay, this shit gonna work. This shit might be my ticket out of here. This old man motherfucking character I got.
Yeah.
So we did the skit, and the skit was funny as hell. And shout out Gene Miller. He was like, bro, Stanley Earl, he always, anything he had sent me, like, Stanley Earl, like, bro, you gotta do Stanley Earl, that's your shit. So I had to audition for the movie, for the table that turned. I'm like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna be Stanley Earl again. Okay.
How come Stanley Earl ain't did no time on stage?
Yeah.
I never did Stanley Earl on stage. It's crazy. Maybe I might need to bring Stanley Earl on stage, man.
Time to be Marquand Banks.
I know, stage, but still, man. Stanley Earl, thing. Look, I saw him.
No, like, you might have to, every time Stanley Earl come out, you got to pay Stanley. So we might have to wait on Stanley. Mm-hmm. Once the movie blew up with Stanley, you feel me? That's when I'm gonna come out with the Stanley. Once the movie get popping.
Now let me ask you a little deeper than that. Like, who you really imitate?
Am I really imitating?
Yeah, like, where did Stanley Earl come from? Like, you had it? Is it an uncle, grandfather, dude on the corner? Who?
It's really just any old nigga that's like a sugar daddy type old nigga.
No, where you seen Stanley Earl at?
Every day in the hood. It's a Stanley Earl on every block in Cleveland. It's a Stanley Earl everywhere. He's here.
I see what
he
you're
has
saying.
A van.
I know
or a Lincoln. A town car.
Yeah.
An Astro van.
Yeah.
A Cadillac truck.
Look.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Stanley Earl? Have you ever seen Stanley Earl at McDonald's pre-COVID in the morning times?
Yeah, Stanley Earl be at McDonald's, all that. Stanley Earl's still going to Planet Fitness. Stanley Earl go to church. Stanley Earl's a deacon. Stanley Earl be at, your uncle might be a Stanley Earl. Yeah. Your grandpa might be a Stanley Earl. Your daddy might be Stanley Earl. Stanley Earl is prevalent in the black community. Everybody know Uncle Stanley, and that's what it was, the old school nigga, cool player type, be sipping on the young girls, buying them up. Would you feel me? That's Stanley Earl.
I like his young ass.
The Gators.
No, Stanley
Earls. Yeah,
hey,
the sugar daddy.
No, you've seen him.
The sugar daddy.
You've seen him, and I was just trying to figure out, like,
he's been studying for 37 years.
I mean, because me personally, pre-COVID, I used to be like, man, I'm bored. I'm going to McDonald's in the morning time. And I got some characters and some material. I got a lot of material for them. From just watching the old school dudes at the McDonald's,
that's,
man.
Hilarious.
He was like, let me get 4 sugars and 3 creams and go ahead and put it in there.
Right.
Let me get a cream. Go ahead and put your fang in there and stand right up for me. You know, like, you can. I'm telling you, before COVID, it was a hangout.
Put that thing. Shit.
And listening to them, they stories and shit, what they say they used to do. I used to be in there, like, that was how I got entertained.
I mean,
watching the old school dudes.
What else you supposed
to do? At McDonald's before the church crowd came in, you know. That's what I used to do.
So I remember during COVID, I was scared to come outside for a couple weeks. I was like, we allowed to go outside? Is outside closed?
Outside was closed.
Whoa. Is it legal?
Not for me.
Is it legal to go outside to sell these movies right now? I mean, you know, fuck with me. This is COVID out here. They're
a worker
me now.
At that point. You going to the
right
spot. So,
right.
Shit. I was out. That didn't stop me a goddamn moment.
So, what, you know, like, what made you say I can do movies?
Man, shout out my uncle Smooth Gotti, bro.
Stanley Earl.
He was the movie Life Lessons, the first movie. He was with Johnny Lump. Shout out Johnny Lump. We came together. They started doing a movie. He thought I was good for it. He saw me doing stand up comedy. He felt like I was gonna be a good fit. And I went out and talked to the director and I talked to him. He pulled up. I was selling CDs and movies for real. He pulled up at the gas station I was at and we just talked and I might have made him laugh once or twice. And I'm like, yeah, bro, this is what I'll do. Woody woo. Put me a movie. I came and shot the movie. Next thing you know, when I did my first part, I was funny as hell. And I just, like, you feel me? Not trying to brag. It's just natural. It's meant to be there, naturally gifted, but with acting and or just being funny, so it just came pretty much natural for real, bro. Like, I just think of funny shit. Like, most of the time in the movies, it's a script. Of course, you go on the script, on the plot or whatever, the situation. But a lot of the times, the director usually lets me do most of my shit ad-lib. Like, of course, I'm going to stay on the script, stay on the subject, but they let me, you feel me, be free for the most part.
Yeah.
So, any part you see me in a movie, 80% of that was just me going on script but off script. Just coming from my brain. You might, oh, that fit in the movie so funny.
Yeah.
That's the shit I just thought of and just said.
Yeah.
And you thought Maybe they wrote it. Maybe I just said it out my head.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, not trying to be funny. Like, real
no,
shit.
No, there's times, because those, like, when I did mine, there's parts where it's in there, but then you're like, well, they want you to add more to it. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, fuck. You yeah. come up with it right there. You know what I mean? It's just right. that moment, because you know right. you're adding the scene, kind of, you know.
Right.
I mean?
So it's, yeah. And plus, you know, you may see a script, and I you might say, well, this is not real. Let me make it more realistic.
Right, yeah. Right. And what would I say?
Yeah, what would know? I say in this situation?
Right.
If it was real. And in addition to that, just for the sake of, did you want to say something before I go
ahead? I just want to say shout out to him for going to the thing all dressed up. Like, he took that shit seriously, man. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to do auditions for nothing. You know what I mean? It's yeah. like, if you want me in it, dope, but it's like, I don't want to.
And when they saw me, when they saw me come in dressed like me, and I went in the back and got my little makeup on,
yeah, yeah,
got
yeah.
my gray spray paint, got my little button up, got my little hat on.
Yeah,
they say this nigga committed. That's an actor.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
a character.
Yeah,
he's in character.
Yeah,
you feel me?
Yeah, exactly.
He's in character, literally yeah. and figuratively in character.
Yeah.
So like, how can you not want to put that in a movie?
Right,
exactly.
Like, that's gonna blow so away every
that's
trip.
Good for other people who have that little bit of extra one, that's something you can do. You yeah. know, get out there and put something together.
And that's another thing. Like, the stage is more like repetition, and you gotta pretty much do your same set a lot over and over again
right.
to get better and whatever. But when you on a movie set, that's more like you can be free. You in a character. Like, you, the stage more, you trying to make your life funny. Right. On a movie set, you just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you in a character.
Yeah.
What would this character say? You not Marquand Banks, you this character.
Yeah.
You feel me? So what would this character say in this? You feel me?
It's hard. So it's hard to yeah. like get your mind separated, though, a little bit. If you're not used to doing it, like, for me, it was tough.
Right.
It was a little tough, but yeah, I got you.
It's right.
So in addition to, you know, me seeing Marquand walk, you know, rock out on stage, I'm familiar with him being on a very popular podcast here in the Cleveland, Ohio area.
Yeah.
Along with, you know, we had Kev.
Yes, we did.
On the show as well.
Shout out to Kevin Ford.
Kevin Ford.
Shout out my dog, Kevin Ford, my guy, man.
He was on the show, and it was like a very good experience, and we wanted to cross pollinate. But somehow, you know, you
cross pollinate. That's a look. I never heard that word. Why did I start thinking about beehives and honey? Like, yeah, man. You know, I cross pollinate. Like, why well, I feel like you the busiest bee in the city? Like, I never heard that word. I'm sorry, y'all. I've never heard that vernacular. Cross pollinate.
Yeah, I wanted to cross pollinate because, you know, introduce your followers to us and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it never happened. But you know what? You guys can still look up classic episodes of Kev and Quan.
Oh, yeah. They're out there.
On YouTube.
They're out there.
And it was yeah. a good show. They had a good thing going. And I'm honored to have Kevin Ford on the show. And I'm honored to have the other half, Marquand Banks, on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Man, with that, bro, really, Kevin Ford wasn't really a big fan of podcasts.
Really?
We had a podcast, I want to say, for Timbuktu had his podcast on Redline Radio. Shout out my guy, Timbuktu.
Yeah.
He had me and Kevin Ford as a guest at the same time. And, like, me and Kevin Ford, it was the chemistry and just the vibe and just the flow of the whole show. It was going so good. I said, hey, bro, me and you should do a podcast. Me and Kevin Ford was already, like, getting acquainted. He was, like, saw him, he was a cool dude,
yeah.
a solid dude, you know, invited me to his house. I feel like any person in this comedy game invite me to the house, that's a real big honor. You really fuck with me to, you feel me, bring me to your space. I'm like, man, I really like this dude. He fuck right. with me. Because I fuck with who fuck with me.
Right.
Like, you show me some 100%.
Love, yep.
then I'm like, you feel me, I'm going to show you some love back. Yep. You showing me love. You feel me?
Yeah.
So, like, I was like, at the end of the podcast, like, kid, we should do a podcast. Woo. He agreed to it. Like, fuck it, let's go. Nigga, we called Dave, and we put our money down right then and there. And we set a date, and okay. we started a podcast. And I feel like the chemistry was so good. We had like a good cop, bad cop. You feel me?
Yep.
Almost Wallow and Gilly type. Mm-hmm. We gonna Jones on each other. And I did that subconsciously and almost on purpose. Because I'm a big fan of Wallow and Gilly. How they just get on each other's ass. And I'm like, I'm gonna start getting on Kev's ass. Just started off, he'll start getting on my ass, and it's gonna start being natural, so start being funny,
right.
And it's gonna come be kind of our thing,
yeah.
And that little shit like that just made it our thing. You feel me? it was almost like, you feel me, we was almost opposites. It was some like some yin and yang type shit.
Right.
You feel me?
Look that up. Look up Kevin Kat,
Kevin Kwan.
Kevin Kwan.
The professional unprofessionals.
Yeah, that's what that comes out. Professional.
Man, I'ma keep it, I'ma keep it real, man. I had wrote some shit. We had did a podcast episode and I had wrote a caption on Facebook and I said, man, this is the most professional, unprofessional podcast in the city. Cause that was like the best way to really explain it. Like it was right. professional, but it was unprofessional at the same time.
So hold on, that's how you posted
like,
it.
Like we had real good questions. Real good questions and answers. But sometimes me or Kev might say the shit, it might just get us kind of niggerish. For the best way to explain it, it might get a little niggerish in that motherfucker. And that was the unprofessional part of it.
Gotcha.
You know.
Yeah.
So like I wrote that caption one day, and next thing I know, that was the name of the show. I'm like, nigga.
That's what I'm saying. So hold on.
The show got
no name.
Kevin Kwan, professional, unprofessional. At first, it was Kevin Kwan is real funny out here.
Okay. And then it got changed to that.
And then it got changed to professional unprofessionals.
Hey, I'm glad we
went professional unprofessionals because I feel like that was a good name and a good explanation for how we was doing it for sure.
Yeah, 100%. No, I love how names come up. That was nice. Yeah.
And for the sake of time, this is only a timestamp. The debate just happened between in 2024.
Yeah, so let's get into it.
Kamala Harris.
We'll talk about it.
And Donald J. Trump, DJT.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go. Say it.
I didn't see none of it, so
let's go.
You seen it.
I saw a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But it ain't about me. It's all about Mr. Marquand Banks.
Oh, but he wants to talk about it.
Listen. Trump fucked up when he said niggas eating dogs in Springfield, Ohio. What the fuck was that? I didn't even watch the debate, but all they talk about on Facebook is y'all heard he's talking about the dogs and shit. Like, what the fuck?
Dogs and cats.
And cats, like, what the fuck? The immigrants is not that hungry.
The immigrants is
not eating dogs and cats. I mean, we all ate Chinese food for it. Shout out to my Asian people, Asian and Pacific people.
I do like my chicken.
Allegedly, sometimes it might be a dog and cat in there. So if you have some shrimp fried rice or whatever. You might have ate a little. You feel me?
That's why I have vegetable fried rice.
Master Leroy.
I'd be like, look, vegetable fried rice. Can you put some extra little corns in my shit?
Yeah.
I like pork fried rice, and I like the...
No, anything that ain't a fake shrimp in there might be suspect. Yeah. Only thing safe is the fake shrimps.
Chicken and broccoli.
So, Marquand, like, man, not to be political or anything, man. Who you got, bro?
Bro, I got Dr. Umar Johnson.
Yeah.
I got Charleston White. I got Boosie.
Hey, look.
I got Hurricane Chris. I got 50 Cent.
Look. Look, the video is going to come out later. Let me tell you something. I'm driving where I work at. I see a bunch of Trump signs. I'm driving. I'm like, damn. They go one Trump, two Trump. And I saw another sign. Red, white, and blue, just like the Trump signs. And guess what it said? It said, Wu-Tang forever.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang forever.
Wu-Tang forever.
I gotta keep it real, though. Kamala got the momentum right now.
Yeah.
Especially with the dogs and the cats. He sound real out of touch. You know, you that out of touch that you just start saying anything like that. Like, come on, bro.
I'm just upset about, this is the...
And then he tried to say that Kamala Harris wants to take all your guns and stuff from you. And then she clarified that. No, I don't. She said me and my husband own weapons. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, bro. Listen, at the end of the day, to be real, bro, ain't none of them on our side, bro.
None.
It's all a game, bro, and the facade. And they talk about me doing acting. They are greater actors than me. Kamala and Biden and Trump and all them, they better actors than me. This nigga had a whole scene where he made y'all believe somebody tried to kill him, and all he had was a firecracker in his ear. Like, I'm gonna let the firecracker go at 11:59:58 Eastern Time in my ear.
His
ear get fixed perfectly, and Holyfield ear still ain't been fixed. Uh-huh. And Holyfield ear got fucked up 30 years ago. I was 5 years old when Holyfield ear got fucked up.
Holy shit, you were 5 years old?
Yeah, I was 5 years old when he fucked up Holyfield ear. Y'all fix Trump shit in two weeks. I don't believe that shit.
And what a great marketing tool. Shout out to Mike Tyson's earbites.
Man, they doing some shit now, man. Kamala said she put her greens in the bathtub and Trump faked an assassination attempt. They trying to win. Who they really putting? I give both of them an A for effort. If you wanted me to ask a question like that. They both get the A for both of effort. They try whatever they can to get up in there.
Alright.
I'm just fed up with all of it. This is just upsetting.
And that was great for the sake of time stamping. Moving on.
Like, you don't want to talk nothing more about it.
So moving on. Like,
we dipped our toe into this conversation. Now we're going
to
move on.
Yeah, we did that for the sake of time stamp. You know, just to put a time stamp in there. But, you know, Marquand, I noticed that you know, like, I normally ask people to give their Mount Rushmore as a comedy, which is four comics. You did that already. And I also noticed that you named possibly, like, a person that we all can see and touch. I can call right now. Shout out to Showtime. Fellow John Adams Rebel. I went to school with him. I know he was a football star there. It's like, it's rare that people actually, like, and that's how I know where you are mentally. Because you named the person that influenced you that wasn't astronomical, somebody to touch,
somebody I can call, somebody that called me,
and you said Shine Showtime, right. And that lets me know where you are, you know, because all of the greats, even Stevie Wonder did a song about Duke Ellington, you know what I'm saying? All of the greats, Eminem, he shout out Tretch and everybody else, like, you know, Eminem. I did like Tretch and Naughty by Nature, but Eminem made me pay attention to Tretch, how much he was a wordsmith, how he was like magical with his words. Tretch was a phenomenal MC. And you know, somebody we can see and touch, we normally don't give our credit to. And I'm here to say that everybody that's been on the show is people that Justin and I are both are fans of. Because if you like them and I don't like them, guess what?
Damn.
They not gonna be on the show. If I like them and Justin don't like them, guess what? They not gonna be on the show.
Unless you know, people, you gotta get both sides. You gotta get the white man from Pennsylvania and the black man from Cleveland.
Both sides of Woodhill.
Both sides of Woodhill. You gotta get both demographics, okay?
Yeah,
to make it.
But you said Shine Showtime. Like, okay. And that's dope because I always say this, man. And I say it till, because this is what I experienced. Like, with magnetic status in the comedy game right now, from people that we can see and touch, there's only a few names that you could put on a flyer and people actually look on the flyer and be like, yo, I'm coming to this show. And this is no snap or slide against anybody else. But, you know, Shine Showtime's one of those names.
Right.
That you see on the flyer and people are going to come see Shine Showtime.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to come see Chevy. Right. They're going to come see Rob Allen. Right. They're going to come see D-Hawk.
Right.
They see those.
And, man, Shine Showtime, I want to give him his flowers again because he always accepted me. He always gave me good game, good wisdom. He was just trying to, like, pretty much be an OG and try to guide me in this comedy journey. Like, I remember I saw him one time. I want to say it was my first ever paid show. Shout out to Ant Morrow. He booked me for a show. It was like one of them old lady clubs, like kind of like a, like those little fraternity, a bunch of older women, right?
Yeah.
And Shine Showtime is me, Shine Showtime, and MRO. So I was really new in comedy, so I really didn't know how to tailor my set to the crowd yet.
Okay, yeah.
So I bombed. MRO still paid me. Shout out MRO, still paid me, even though I bombed or whatever. Exactly. He still gave me my little $25, whatever it was.
Right.
So I remember Shine Showtime went up. He was the headliner. And he killed it. He just was, every joke, the energy, the stage presence, the confidence, just everything we do, this outfit, whatever. Like, just everything was just hitting. And I'm like, I did bad, okay, but this is somebody who do great. Okay, if I can be half as good as that, if I can take some, you feel me, some gain from that, I'd be great. So that's why he inspired me so much, and he been accepting of me on my whole journey, cause he remember the beginning. He like y'all said, he see my growth.
Right,
for sure.
He see my growth. He see I'm still dedicated to my craft. He see I'm still getting better. So he's still giving me game and supporting me. You feel me? So like I saw him and was just like super inspired. Like, that's what I need to do. I need to be that good.
Nice. Yeah.
How did he be that good?
Nice. Tough, so man. So you're saying, and it did, even after you felt like you bombed, he didn't like snob you out.
He didn't push me away. I guess he saw the picture and like whatever. Even, I don't know what he saw. He showed me nothing but love. Yeah. He like, you feel me?
Shout.
I'm a, you feel me? I got your back. I'm gonna give you some game. Don't do this. Don't do that. You feel me? Do this. Do that. You know.
And to piggyback off that on Sean, like I reached out to Sean, and before like he knew that I was a John Adams Rebel alumni, he was still a cool, down to earth person. Right. He talked to me. I call him. He still answer my call. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not like some of these other cats that don't answer my call. If he's in town, I'm sure he would have did a show with me. You know, he was out of town for, you know, shout out to Showtime, yeah, and people like him that are still humble. Like, you got to be humble. Yeah. And that ain't nothing you learn.
And listen, he still keep it real.
Yeah.
That's another thing he told me. You might see people and they might be more booked than you, and you might feel like they're on a better level than you, and like, you feel me, or whatever. He told me this, that always keep me humble and let me know we on an even playing field. He said, so comedy is paying all your bills. We all on the same level.
For sure.
And that's how I look at it. Like, that's real shit. Like, that's real shit ever. Like, until, nigga, you ain't got to go clock in and do whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. Until you just pay all your bills, you ain't got no other. You all in?
I mean, even that.
We all on the same level, bro. We trying to make it, you know?
Even that.
And that was real humble for him, from doing it 10 years plus in the game.
Right.
To even say that, like, bro, like pretty much, nigga, like, I still do what I do, drive trucks or whatever, comedy, I'll pay all my bills. So, nigga, I might have more years on you, but, nigga, we on the same level because, nigga, I'm still doing other shit that's not comedy. Yeah. Paying my bills. Facts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
That's real talk right there, man.
So, that's all for all the young comics. Don't ever think somebody above you and do it better than you. Man, we all still trying to make it. I don't care how much you see them booked here, there, there. We all still trying to make it. On the same level, still trying to make it, bro.
I mean, we talk about it all the time, too. You think about it, you get that FOMO, you know what I mean? You see people posting flyers, this and that. And we've done some of those shows, and you realize who's at some of them shows. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's you're not missing out a lot, you know what I mean? But it's a lot of work. It's still time to get out there and everything, you know what I mean? But it's just one of those deals where it's like, we ain't on a lot of shows.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We ain't on a lot of flyers. Shout out to everybody out there.
Shout out to everybody that's doing their thing. I'm proud of all my especially people, the genuine people that show me genuine love and people that genuinely
fuck with me.
I'm proud of all my comedy family. Like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Ain't no hate, like no envy, none of that. It's just like,
none of that.
Got our journey. Yeah. You feel me?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's just I don't get out there all as much. Like you said. It's like,
So Marquand, like let everybody know, including myself, like What is the end game for you? Like, if you could wave a comedy or reality magic wand, if you could tell the world right now, what is it that you're interested in? What do you have to offer to the world right now?
Hey man, I had to offer me, bro, and I'm just very Marquand. You feel me? You can ask anybody that,
very
bro.
Marquand.
You feel
for
me?
Sure.
And you gonna love it or hate it, bro. And some people love it, some people hate it. But I just feel like I'm a talented individual, underrated. And the end game, bro, I want to be one of the ones that come out of the city that made it, you know, that came back and gave people opportunities. Because I feel like some people out of the city might have came back and they'll come back and bring opportunities. Like, you know, fuck it, I'm going to say it. Why Steve Harvey never opened a comedy club in Cleveland? All this money Steven made.
Facts.
He can open a club. He got club money.
Facts.
You a multimillionaire. You can have a club. You ain't got to be there. You come do it for like a year and let somebody else do it.
Right.
But it's a club. It's a venue. And you booking Cleveland comedians and you giving us a platform. Like, I feel like, you feel me, nobody really done that. Nobody really came back and just brought somebody with them from the city. Yeah. They made out of the city and came back and really like, it's a lot of people. Let me shout out to people in the city that give people opportunities. Like, you know, you got the Rich Greens and you got the
Spike Rich Greens and Spike Lou.
And it's a lot of people that give people opportunities, you know. But I feel like nobody really made it and came back and lifted us up and brought us. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay. So I understand that, and I concur with that. Yeah. But in addition to that, can you look in the camera and tell everybody what they can expect from Marquon Banks? Because we already talked about you a comedian. We know you're a stand-up comedian. We know you, that you you had a podcast. We know that you're an actor.
Yeah, a few
of them. We know that you're an actor. Like, are you interested in doing any writing for, like, maybe a sitcom? Or are you
Have you thought about, a thing you'd want
to
write?
Are you open to a sitcom? Are you open to a movie? This is the time right now to tell the world, like, what's up? What's happening?
I mean, we've had ideas for me starring different movies, like, headline certain different movies. I would love to be in a sitcom. I feel like that's a little bit more off in the future. But I feel like now I want to really focus on coming within the next 12 months is like a special. Give me at least 30 minutes of solid material and give me a nice venue, a nice cameraman, a nice little setup, lineup, and like really making it, you know, putting it on all platforms. Like, I'm ready for the special, you know. I'm thinking about a couple of different names, like It's Real Out Here or Based on a True Story. Or, you feel me, things like something like that, like, because I feel like all my comedy is real, like, it's based on a true story. A lot of people, like, might say I'm urban or they might consider me ghetto, but that's all I know. And, like, you feel me, I wasn't born in Parma, I wasn't raised out, you feel me, in Seven Hills, you feel me. I'm from the projects of 30th, you know, so that's, and I moved up on Kinsman and up the way, so, like, that's all I know, like. Yeah, I might have traveled certain places due to comedy, but I'm still that same, you feel me? Cleveland guy, you feel me?
Right.
Hustler, you feel me? Blue collar, you feel me, type of guy, you know? So, yeah, man, like, really, I want to, you know, get my material game up, you know, stay in the gym, stay in the lab, and go ahead and get that special, man, and you feel me, get the right people on it and push it and market it, you know, because I done did it all, the movies, the podcasts. Like, I feel like, to be honest with you, man, I got, like, I'm very underrated, and I got a very, you feel me, like, I'm like a Swiss Army knife. Like, I'm funny on stage, I'm funny in movies, I'm funny in skits, I'm funny in podcasts. Well, any situation you can throw me in, any time and game, I'm going to give you a laugh.
Yeah.
You feel me, whether it's an interview, whether it's whatever, I'm going, you feel me, I can do everything. Thanks. So like, I feel like one of them things gonna pop. One of the podcasts, the skit, the TikTok, whatever. One of them things gonna get me to the next level. Hopefully, you know, that's what I'm trying to focus on. Just keep going, cause you know, you can quit. I think everybody had their times where they might have wanted to quit and thought about quitting. Like, damn, is this really for me? Am I already gonna make it?
Right. Right. Absolutely.
But like, you already invested years in it. You might as well keep going. Why are you quitting now?
Yeah.
You gonna quit now? Right. Have you to put your whole 5-6 years of your life trying to do this shit. Now you gonna quit? No, you gotta do this shit till the casket drop. At this point,
casket drop.
That's who you is now. You the comedian. You the comedian in the family trying to tell jokes. That's who you is now. Yeah. You gotta be that now. Facts. You can't be nothing else. No, that's what you're known for.
Yep.
You know.
And I want to say this. You know what? Shout out to Marquon Banks. And I personally seen this growth. And I think that, you know, hey, it would be a tragedy if you stop.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, keep going, man. Everybody out there, keep going, you know.
Absolutely.
Fuck all that. We got to go viral, nigga. Kamala ain't black, nigga. Don't nobody put their motherfucking greens in a motherfucking bathtub, nigga. Project 2025, nigga. Get some guns, water, beans, greens, tomatoes. Grow vegetables, niggas. Nigga, get a fort, nigga. Get some gold, nigga. Silver, let's copper, go. Brass, and aluminum, nigga. And get some horses and shit, nigga. Because nigga, don't buy a Tesla, nigga. Don't buy a Tesla, nigga. Don't buy a Tesla.
They can't
nigga.
See you. Get closer. Listen, they can't see you. Get
listen,
closer.
Listen. Yeah, don't get too close. Yeah. Listen. COVID is back. They gonna come up with some new shit next year. They come up with some new shit, nigga. Make drums, nigga. Listen, if we all stand up, they gonna fall, nigga. We going viral. We out here, nigga. Shout out Charleston White. Shout out Tia Kemp. Slash Funny Marco. Nigga, yeah. Hurricane Chris. You know, got better music than 50 Cent, nigga. And it's just that, nigga. Hopefully, y'all don't get pulled over. I do, nigga. Stream this shit and put this shit on my motherfucker. Make this shit go viral and put the money on my books, nigga.
Yeah. With that being said,
put the money on
and I'm gone, nigga. All I want is, nigga, honey buns, nigga.
Peanut butter, nigga.
Noodles.
Tuna. They got the chili in the bag. Don't forget about the chili in the bag.
What about the shebangs?
Yeah. I'm tired of shebangs. I want the party mix. I'm a party mix type of nigga.
And he kick everybody's ass in
casino. Shout out to this tight ass shirt they gave me. This bitch is medium.
And he said nobody can see him in casino.
Episode of the Midnight Pocket Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
Yes! With that being said, where can they find you at, Jay?
Hold on. First off, never again am I wearing shorts on an episode. I've been looking at my legs this whole episode.
He's like, I got on my big boy pants.
I'm comfy as shit, but never again, people.
Got on my big boy shorts.
You can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms, people.
I am the underscore great CEO underscore. CREE. That's where you can find me on Instagram, or you can find us both at the Midnight Pocket Podcast on Instagram. This dude got a website,
justfullofcomedy.com.
Yeah, that's where you can find the merch and all that other great stuff. Yes. And look, thank you for a great episode, Mr. Yes. Marquand Banks.
I appreciate that y'all having me for sure.
Where can they find you, man, once more?
Man, Instagram, it's Real Out Here 3, all one word. TikTok is Real Out Here 3, the same. Facebook, Marquand Real Banks on Facebook, Marquand Banks on YouTube. Check me out on YouTube. You know, man, catch me in front of Save a Lot, so the CDs and movies.
Yeah.
Oh, it's your baby mama house, man.
Boom.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast.